Luke chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 21. So I ask you, if you are able, would you please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? I'm reading from the English Standard Version. If you do not have a Bible, we have some in our resource center to the right of the lobby. We'd love for you to pick up a copy today as our gift to you. Beginning in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, heard, and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thank you. Why would an angel appear to a few shepherds? For the past few weeks, we've looked at the different Christmas narratives with the series title of Christmas Angels, because we have noted that in all of the important points along the way of this first Christmas story, there are angels in this story. And we've learned a lot about these angels, that they are created beings who serve before the Lord in heaven. They have a sense of individuality, as one of them shared that his name is Gabriel. They have assigned task that they are created for specific purposes. As Gabriel said, he was created to stand before the Lord. What a vocation, just to be in the presence of God forever. On occasion, they are directed to earth to carry a heavenly message. And we talked about, actually, the name angel means messenger. They can appear in a vision, as with Zechariah. They can appear in a dream, as with Joseph. And it seems that they can appear with no kind of spiritual experience going on at all, just kind of in everyday, and you look up and there they are, as seems to be the case with Mary. They can appear elevated in the sky, not touching the earth, as seems to be the case with the shepherds. Whatever the case of their appearance, angels appeared quite often. The angels were busy on the first Christmas. It seems to be the case that God had several direct messages to ensure that we understood, to convey directly from heaven to man. exactly what is taking place, how to understand it. The arrival of His Son was of such magnitude in redemptive history and of such impact for those who are directly involved in this narrative that only a direct line from heaven to earth would suffice to convey these revelations. As we have seen in our study of these narratives, that these appearances involve shock and awe. It's always shocking to be visited by a heavenly messenger. And it's always a matter of awe to hear the message that they bring from heaven, straight from God to heaven, to earth. Their appearance is surprising, but the messages containing miraculous news are even more surprising. And as we learned last week, it's also a bit surprising to discover that these surprising messages are actually not so surprising. God promised these things through His prophets. God foretold all of these things down to specific details, such as Bethlehem would be the place, thousands of years before they took place. There's one more surprising element of the Christmas story that I would like to bring out during the message this morning. And that is that it's somewhat surprising to see to whom they appear in this particular part of the Christmas story. Now, it's not too surprising that an angel would visit Zechariah. He and Elizabeth are going to be parents to the Elijah who is to come, the forerunner of the Messiah. John the Baptist is going to take on a role in redemptive history, very unique. It's no surprising an angel would come to inform them of this. It's not too surprising that an angel would visit Mary to give her a heads up about what's getting ready to happen. Not surprising that an angel would visit Joseph to calm him and comfort him and assure him that what is happening with Mary is indeed from God. They were to be the earthly parents of the Son of God. But this visit to the shepherds is a little surprising. This is not a fulfillment of a specific prophecy. Shepherds on a hillside are not really kind of the first group of people that we would suspect to hear of the Messiah's birth. Shepherds were kind of a rough and ragged group, probably not among the well-educated, not among the very popular, certainly not among the very powerful of their day. Everyone enjoyed their product, but probably not too many had much else to do with them. From the human standpoint, we understand why wise men get a heads up, right? Wise men would have a certain amount of respect. When they would share something, people would want to know what they're talking about, would want to hear from them. They would have a certain amount of standing among the people. But shepherds, we like them to stay out of town, on the hillside, out of sight, out of the way, out of the road. When we're going somewhere, keep your flock off the road. We kind of want them out of the way, out of the sight. If we were writing a story of glory and majesty and wanted to have the heavens open with an angelic choir to make the biggest announcement in history, to whom would we have them appear? Probably not a handful of shepherds. Yet one of the most surprising turn of events in the Christmas narrative is that God would open the heavens in brilliant light and glorious song to a small little group of people who possess nothing great in the eyes of the world, who are nobody special in the eyes of the world, So that's why the title of the sermon is, "Why would an angel appear to a few shepherds?" I almost titled it, "Why would an angel bother with a few shepherds?" Now, that's probably not the first thought that enters our minds when we read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. It's probably not the first thought. Well, I wonder why shepherds. But I'm almost certain that was the first thought in their minds. In fact, it almost, you can see it coming out in the story. And we'll pay particular attention to that as we go. The implication of such a glorious event reserved for such a lowly group has tremendous significance for us today. So let's walk through this story with kind of that in mind and fill in all of the other wonderful details of the first Christmas along the way. First of all, I want us to see in verses 8 through 12, the greatest news to the lowliest audience. Greatest news to the lowliest audience. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Now, I have to admit, this is not the main point of this passage. The main point of this passage has to do with who has been born and what he has come to do. There's no doubt, no confusion or doubt about that. But I also have to admit, as I read through and studied through this passage again, we read it every Christmas. We see it acted out in Christmas plays all the time. We watched Nativity last night and saw this acted out. I have to admit, those two words, "to them," have arrested my attention this year. To them, shepherds. I mean, just think, if we were making this story up, if this was a story that man sat down to create and make this up. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord didn't bother with them. He went on to some people of significance that could help spread this message and have the biggest impact. Imagine what you could do if a celebrity comes to Christ. Imagine how many people will come to Christ if somebody famous knows about this. An angel of the Lord, straight from the glories of heaven, with the biggest announcement in all of human history, appears to them. And I'm assuming here, but I don't think he finds them in a state of worship. I think he finds them in a state of keeping their flocks and doing what most shepherds probably do and saying what most shepherds probably say. And it wasn't to any dignitaries, any officials, any leaders, any townspeople, but the shepherds, the poor, lowly shepherds, were given the eternal privilege to be the first to hear of the Savior's birth. Now, I can't help but see something very remarkable and significant, maybe even somewhat overlooked about that detail. The heavenly birth announcement of Jesus Christ was sent from heaven to a band of poor shepherds. They were the first to hear that Jesus, Christ the Lord, is born. And the scripture prophesies, and Jesus says that he came to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, why is that? Does God love poor people more than he loves rich people? No. indeed know. Oh, the point, my friends, is to emphasize that the good news, the gospel, which means good news, is for all the people, which is what the angel is getting ready to say. This is for all the people. And let me emphasize and highlight this by bringing this news to shepherds, bypassing every other group of people that we would expect to get this message. Let's bring this message to shepherds to emphasize the point. This is for all people. That's exciting. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Rich, poor, young, old, upper class, middle class, lower class, or like me, no class. The gospel is for all the people. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. How many of us have experienced that? Reserved especially for these shepherds, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Of course they were. Of course they were. A window of heaven, a window of the glory and majesty and infinite purity of heaven had just opened up and poured out on shepherds. Of course they're filled with fear. What is the first thing they hear? I mean, you would expect them to be filled with fear, because this is not like Joseph. They're not all dreaming. They're not all hallucinating. In a dream would be different. You wake up from a dream and you say, oh, that was a dream. I don't need to be fearful. What is the first thing the angel says? And the angel said to them, fear not. Where have we heard that before? Every one of these Christmas narratives, an angel appears in glory and brilliance and pure light. And when we encounter the heavenly as being unholy sinners, of course we're filled with fear. And the angel says, fear not. And then he says, here's why you don't have to fear. I'm bringing you good news, not bad news, not dreaded news, not terrible news, not frightening. I'm bringing you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. There's no need to fear at my presence before you, because I'm bringing you the best news you will ever hear. Good news of great joy for all the people. This is life-changing news that I'm bringing to you. It's for all the people. Now, shepherds lived a hardened life. Long hours of work, long, lonely hours of work. Hardened people, hardened life, spending most of the people that they spent their time with would be other shepherds who lived as shepherds lived, hard life, hard work, little respect, little income, doing what they needed to do to get by, to live, to exist. Shepherds seldom heard any good news. Shepherds seldom had any reason for great joy. And yet here they are being shepherds, and heaven literally comes down and says, I am bringing to you some very good news of something that is of very great joy that will be for all the people. Now listen to that, because that includes shepherds. If it's for all people, that includes shepherds. That includes you and me as well. Just think about this. Maybe a point of application for us today. An angel, a messenger, first brought this news. The birth of Christ. We are God's messengers today. We are evangelists today. We are missionaries today. To the world with the very same news. The very same news. Let this be our evangelism message to everyone around us this Christmas, this next year, every day for the rest of our lives. Let us herald along with the angels. I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people. That includes you. This is a gospel message for you. And then the angel in verse 11, then the angel begins to share with him what this good news is, what this good news of great joy is for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ being the title, Messiah, expected one, anointed one, coming one, the Lord, Messiah, God, is here as a baby this day. All that we have been waiting for, all that has been promised, all that we have been longing for has been fulfilled this day. This is the good news of great joy. The waiting is over. Messiah is here. Baby Jesus, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, is none other than Christ the Lord, and He is here to save. There is no greater news, there is no greater joy than to know God has come to save us from our sin. I wish my vocabulary was extensive enough to describe the enormity of this occasion, of this announcement, of what this means for the world. Of what this means for us today who are hearing this message again. Never in the history of the world and never to be found in any language of the world has there ever been a greater announcement than this. God is here to save. God is here to save. There is absolutely nothing narrow-minded or bigoted about Christianity. Christ came to save. That's the greatest news of the world. He is here. Now, I don't know what you want for Christmas. But I tell you the absolute truth based on the Word of God that all we need for Christmas has already been given. 2,000 years ago, God sent His only Son into the world as the baby, Jesus Christ, in order that He might bring us to Himself, reconcile us to Himself, adopt us to Himself. We have everything we need in this truth of God's Word. You've already been given. Now look at verse 12. And he says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Then look how individualized the message becomes, right? This is for us evangelism 101. The great news, good news of great joy for all the people. And then it hones in on the listeners. Hones in on the audience. And the angel says in verse 12, look at this. And this will be a sign for you. Good news of great joy for all the people, and this will be a sign for you. Don't miss that this is for you. Don't miss this Christmas that Christ came to save you. This is a sign for you. A personal hand-delivered message straight from God to a group of shepherds. This will be a sign for you. You, that's the shepherds, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Everything that I have just said, this day is born Christ the Lord. Now, you, here's what you go see. This is for you. I tell you, God still sends personal messages from heaven today and every Christmas. There is a sign for you to hear that Christ came to save you. That the gospel is for you. The good news of great joy for all people is for you, for me. It may be a verse on a Christmas card. It may be a Christian Christmas hymn playing in the background as you're shopping for Christmas gifts. It may be a star on the top of a Christmas tree pointing your eyes to heaven. It may be a sermon today or a Christmas Eve service or a prayer that's prayed at a Christmas family gathering or a nativity scene in a neighbor's lawn. But somewhere God's sign is still going out for you. Go see. Go see this thing. Christmas is about Christ, and Christ came to save. Secondly, let's look at this song in verse 13, an angelic song heard by unexpected ears, referring to the shepherds, of course. The song is sung to God, and the shepherds get to see it and hear it. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Let us as believers join in the angel choir in praise to God for what He has done. These angels break forth in song. The window of heaven opens a little further. A multitude of angels join this angel and break forth in song. And the song is a praise to God. This is a praise chorus to God about what is taking place here. The angels are overjoyed at what God is doing to the degree that a host of them want to sing to Him about it. And the shepherds are just bystanders. They get to see this and hear it. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. God has done something so gracious and so unbelievably rich. He promised long ago to send a Savior, and He has sent His only Son to fulfill His promise. He is worthy of our praise at Christmas all through the year, and as eternity shall roll from age to age to age, let Him be praised. Glory to God in the highest, praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. That's an interesting second line of the praise chorus, isn't it? And on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Let's work backwards with that phrase. With whom is he pleased? There is a distinction made here, right? And the message of salvation is always, the message of the gospel is always for everyone to hear. But there's a distinction here now. Because they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So we would naturally ask, with whom then is he pleased? And actually, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 specifically answers that question. And it says this, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So who are the ones with whom he is pleased? He is pleased with those who believe him, who believe in him, and who believe in his Son. One of our treasuring verses, one of the verses that when we were walking through John 6 that we treasured up together is John 6:40. That's just a few pages over. We're in Luke. If you want to flip over to John, the next book over, John chapter 6, we spent a week treasuring up verse 40. This is another way to say this is what pleases God. The same thing. Another way to say it, John chapter 6, verse 40. Listen to this verse. For this is the will of my Father. Or you could say it this way. This is what pleases my Father. Continue on. That everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him, faith, should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. God is pleased with those who believe in him and treasure his Son whom he has sent. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So now let's ask the question. Okay, so it's those who are treasuring Christ, believing in Christ, believing in the Father and sending the Son for our salvation. But this says, on earth, peace among those believers. Now we have to ask the question, what peace on earth for believers? In fact, you may be in a situation in life right now, in home or job or whatever, that you don't really feel or sense or see anything peaceful. In fact, many believers, many struggle through holidays, the holiday season, for various reasons. It doesn't seem too peaceful. We turn on the news and there doesn't seem to be too much peace around the world in our own country. Recently, you turn on the news, there doesn't seem to be much peace around our nation. You hear the reports from around the world and Christians are literally being slaughtered today just because they believe in Jesus. And you have to ask the question, what peace on earth are these angels singing about? And the answer is actually another verse we've treasured up this year. This is why we treasure verses up. Romans 5:1. Pastor Bruce had us treasure this verse up. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, there it is, what pleases God, faith. Since we have been justified by faith, here it is, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What peace on earth? Actually, the only true lasting peace that can ever be found. Peace between me and the Almighty. Christ came that there might be peace between me and the Almighty, because I've been at war with Him and He's going to win that one. And Christ came to set us, Christ the Prince of Peace came to set me right with the Father. The greatest, most lasting, the truest peace that will ever be known. An angelic song. And what's so remarkable about this song is not only its content, but the ones who are singing this praise. Think about this. Angels are singing this. Now, we, as believers, we want to join in with them, right? I mean, this is a song that if anyone should be singing, we should be singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace among those with whom He is pleased." We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him praise. But these are angels. They've never been saved. These are not sinning beings in the line of Adam that need redemption. They have no idea what the joy of salvation, to be born again, recreated, made right with God. They've never experienced that. And yet they are the ones exploding in song. What's going on here? Even the angels in heaven realize that this news is of such wonder and grace that God has just sent His Son to the end result that a multitude without number from every corner of the globe will be eternally rescued from their sin out of God's sheer grace. And that is so good to them, they cannot help but sing His worth. I heard a few whispers of amen. I mean, the angels are erupting. It's okay. Sheer grace. They cannot help but praise Him for it. But it's not only who is singing this praise, but who gets to listen to this praise. Who the secondary audience is. Shepherds. Now, it matters not to this band of heavenly angels that their audience happens to be a band of shepherds. Can you imagine them saying, "This is the greatest event ever to take place in the world, but we got to find somebody else to sing to"? It's not the audience that required, listen to this, it's not the audience that required a multitude of angels. Why didn't just this angel sing this? Because the content required a multitude. It wasn't the audience that required a multitude of angels to sing this song. It was the content that demanded a multitude of heavenly hosts to somehow sing its worth. This news is worthy of a multitude of heavenly hosts to sing it. An angelic song to unexpected ears. Shepherds. Just shepherds. And then the third point of the message today, how simple shepherds make much of the gospel. How simple shepherds make much of the gospel. And this is verses 15 through 20. Look at verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Listen to this last phrase, which the Lord made known to us. Let's go see this thing. The Lord made it known to us. I just can't help but see a richness in there for all of us, but especially for these shepherds to realize they have just heard a message from God to them. It makes you recall, doesn't it, when maybe you were like me, maybe you grew up in a church setting, maybe you had heard the gospel over and over again and you could repeat it and you could answer questions about it and you could write an essay about it, but all of a sudden you heard the gospel and you realized God had just spoken to you and you wanted to go see. You wanted to go see. Verses 16 and 17, and they went with haste. They went with haste. That's what happens when you realize the Lord is making something known to you. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. This baby is Christ the Lord. And they begin to tell it to Mary and Joseph and to everyone else they would come in contact with. They couldn't help but make known to others what the Lord had made known to them. Look at the connection. Look at the connection between verse 15 and 17, which the Lord has made known to us. Verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying, Evangelism 101. We could learn a lot from shepherds. Just simply telling others what God in His grace has told us. Let 2015 be the year when Clovis Evangelical Free Church just simply becomes a band of shepherds going around telling people what God has told us. Singing angel songs to people who are perishing to the ends of the earth. In verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Even unbelievers wonder at this message, right? You believe what? About who? That did what? Really? But sometimes it's through the foolishness of preaching, Paul says. Faith comes by hearing, Paul says. Sometimes when the good news is shared, when this good news of great joy for all people is shared to this heart at this moment, in this time, God does a work in their heart. And all of a sudden, wonder turns to faith. To faith. Now we get a look at Mary in verse 19. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I thought about that phrase. What were all these things that Mary treasured and pondered in her heart? And I thought there must be at least these four things. And this is the, I'm winding it down here. Must have been at least these four things. She must have pondered, she must have treasured in her heart that everything the angel told her had come to pass. It happened just like the angel said it would. everything the angel told Joseph happened just like the angel said it would. That must have been the first thing that she was treasuring, pondering. Second thing must have been that her firstborn was the Savior. She must have pondered that one often, treasured that one often, her Savior. The wonder of it. The third thing that she must have treasured in her heart was that this event was so wonderful. God had not only sent an angel to tell her about it. God had not only sent an angel to tell Joseph about it, but He had also sent an angel to this group of shepherds that have just now stopped by. Heaven is sending the announcement out. God was on the move, bringing heaven to men that He might bring men to heaven. She must have treasured that in her heart, that God is sending out word about His Son, and people she doesn't even know are coming to see her Son, who is the Savior. And I just believe that a fourth thing that Mary treasured and pondered in her heart was that the promise that her Son would be king, the everlasting king, the promise that her Son is the Savior and is going to save His people from their sin and bring them great everlasting joy. I cannot help but think in her heart she's pondering, it's already started. He has just been born, and He's already saving people. Look at verse 20 to highlight that point. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God like the angels for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told Mary, yeah, Joseph, yeah, directing wise men, yeah, but them. And this Christmas message has just been told you. From Luke. Now I'm going to do something very dangerous to conclude the message. I'm going to put my job on the line here, so I'm going to quote Christmas lyrics from John Lennon in a sermon. just to get the tune stuck in your head for the rest of the day. And so this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over, a new one just begun. When we read Luke 2, we might rearrange those lyrics a little bit. And we might sing, and so this is Christmas. And what has God done? But kept His eternal covenant and sent His only begotten Son. This is the good news of great joy for all people. And this is a sign for you. Christ came to save sinners. Let's pray. Father, we want to give You praise. You are worthy of all praise, all rejoicing, because You have done the greatest thing that can possibly be done. You have rescued us through your Son from our sin. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Father, would You help us if we are not believing? Would You help us to believe today that we might be among those who know the only true lasting peace? To God be the glory.